I'll be reading from Job, chapter 31, verses 24 and through 28. If I have made gold my trust, or called fine gold my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was abundant, or because my hand hath found much, if I have looked at the sun when it shone, or the moon moving in splendor, and my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this would also be an iniquity to be punished by the judges, for I would have been false to God above.
Our culture has smudged and clouded the definition of what a man is. But despite the messages that we receive from culture, God has not left us without direction and examples of how a husband, father, and a man that he wants us to be. He has left us many patterns, and one of those is found in the character of Job. Job was God's kind of man. He had the heart that God wants us all to have. Job wasn't godly when times were easy. He stayed godly even when those times got very hard. Even after Satan had taken away all of his children, his possessions, and even his health, Job stayed faithful to God's principles. And as a result, he had reaped God's reward. The restoration of his earthly wealth 100-fold, greater than what Satan had taken away. But a godly father is spiritually faithful. We can see that in the scriptures that Ray had read. Job was genuinely spiritual. He had that spirituality that was not a faith in material things. It wasn't a faith in the things that he created, but rather that faith, that spirituality must be in God who was the creator. Job is an example of genuine godliness by his faithfulness to God. Regardless of our environment, regardless of the things that go on around us, a godly father is a spirit-led, spirit-controlled individual. In Romans 8 and verse 9, Paul tells us what it means to be spirit-led. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says further here, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but filled with the Spirit. Now, if you'll notice the contrast here of a spirit being filled and the spirit that is getting drunk. If we are filled with wine, then we are controlled by the alcohol. But if we are filled with the Spirit, we are controlled by God. So it asks the question, fathers, who controls our lives? Is it the wine of our culture, or is it the Spirit of God? And if God is in control, it means that that control happens every single day, in everything, in every struggle, every problem, every challenge that we face, every thought, and every action that we take is placed under God's will through His Word. It's time for fathers and You know, for mothers too, to stand up and be counted as being spiritually faithful. And as husbands, as fathers, we need to stand just like Joshua did and be ready to say, as for me and my family, that we will serve the Lord. And a father must also be personally accountable. You'll notice in Job chapter 31 and verses 33 and 34. Job says, if I have concealed my transgressions as others do, by hiding my iniquity in my heart, because I stood in great fear of the multitude, and the contempt of families terrified me, so that I kept silence and did not go out of doors. Look around us today. What does our culture teach us? Sin is not our fault. That it's okay to deny responsibility for our sins. It's okay to hide our sins so that nobody will know. A godly man never denies his sin, nor that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. A godly man will own up to his own brokenness. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13, listen to what Solomon writes here. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And then we go to the completely other end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the point of all this. Our children need to know what to do with their sins. We need to vow to be the one who is willing to be personally accountable for our behavior. And by us being personally accountable, we are teaching our children to be accountable for theirs. Our world is in tumult, and nobody is responsible for anything because nobody wants to be held accountable. We fear our children going off to college. We fear that they're going to lose their conservatism. Friends, the fear should be they lose their place in heaven. That is the fear. And when we train them up the way that we should as godly fathers, we have nothing to worry about when they go into this world on their own. A godly father is a man of integrity. We go back to Job chapter 31 and verses 5 through 8. Job said here, if I walked with falsehood and my foot has hastened to deceive, let me be weighed in a just balance and let God know my integrity. If my step has turned aside from the way and my heart has gone after my eyes, if any spot has stuck to my hands, then let me sow in another heat and let what grows for me be rooted out. Job isn't saying that he's sinless, but that his heart is honest. That's what integrity is. It's not perfection, but honesty. A heart that's trying to be and to do what God wants to do and be. What Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and verse 8 in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our children need to see fathers and mothers of integrity every single day. A godly man strives to maintain moral purity. In the first four verses of Job 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How could I gaze at a virgin? What would be my portion from God above and my heritage from the Almighty on high? Is not the calamity for the unrighteous and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and number all my steps? Paul tells us in Romans 1 and verses 28 through 34, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They were gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. This is a culture of anything goes. Our children need to see us control our desires. And when we put 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and Romans 12 and verse 1 together, we find that God wants his people to be priests, peculiar, different men who offer their bodies as a holy, pleasing, living sacrifice. Becoming a godlier father and mother means that we become a pattern for our children. That might just mean we have to turn the TV off, to restrict the videos that we watch, to stay away from impure websites by choosing not to go to the bars and the clubs and the casinos. A godly father is compassionate. How does Job see it? Verses 13 through 23 tells us that if he denied justice to his menservants and maidservants when they had grievance with me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? If I have denied the desires of the poor, let the eye of the widow grow weary. If I've kept my bread for myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared him as would a father. From my birth I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing or a needy man without a garment, and his heart did not bless me for warming him with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in the court, and let my arm fall from my shoulder, let it be broken off at the joint. For I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of his splendor, I could not do such things. Now let your eyes drift down to verse 31. If the men of my household have never said, who has not had his fill of Job's meat? But no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. A godly father understands that we have been called to be leaven to the loaf of our personal world. We are responsible for the poor and the needy that God has providentially placed into our lives. A father is to be like that city that is set on the hill. If our children are to be compassionate people, they must first see it in us. We must be like Christ that Luke spoke of in Acts 10 and verse 38, that he went about doing good. Fathers, Jesus was God incarnate, God in the flesh, and we are expected to be the second incarnate. Scripture instructs us to be conformed to his image, and that includes doing good and being compassionate. A godly father controls his emotions and his tongue. In verse 29 and 30 of Job 31, says, if I have rejoiced at the ruin of him who hated me or gloated when evil overtook him, I have not let my mouth sin by asking for his life with a curse. Friends, male rage is a sin. Road rage, household rage is a sin, but is a symptom of a much deeper sickness. Some men feel so inadequate that they have to prove how manly they are. We try to prove this by showing how tough we are, not how tender. How well we can fight, not how well we can forgive. How many of us would rather rule than how we can be a servant? Jesus was so gentle that he wouldn't even quench smoking flax or bruise a broken reed. James tells us that a real man can control his tongue. In James 3 and verse 6, James tells us that the tongue is a fire in the world of the unrighteous, that it corrupts the whole person, that it sets the whole person's whole course of life on fire. How many families, how many churches and communities of fellowship have been disrupted by those who cannot control their tongues and their emotions? And a godly father is honest in his stewardship. Job addresses this in verses 38 through 40, Job 31. If my land cried out against me and its pharaohs have wept together, if I have eaten its yield without payment and made its owner breathe their last, let thorns grow instead of wheat and foul weeds instead of barley. A godly father sees everyone and everything in his life as a trust from God, for which he one day will have to give an account. The scriptures like Ephesians 5 and verse 25 and chapter 6 and verse 4 become especially meaningful to us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ had loved the church and gave himself for her. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do we view our wives and our children as a trust to us from God? Do we understand that one day in judgment that we are going to have to give an account for how we treated them, how we provided for them, how we raised them? Bible tells us that God is not pleased with fathers and husbands who mistreat that trust. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, because if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. Several years ago, I guess it's been quite a few years ago, the national research paper was published by Abilene Christian University. And one of the questions in that survey was, what changes would you like to see your father make in his life? Now, here were the top 10 replies. Become more available. Spend more time with family. Exert more self-control. Get a grip on the anger and temper. Care more about spiritual matters. Be more God-oriented. Be vulnerable. Be honest about past and present sins and issues. Be more accepting. Love unconditionally. Be genuine, serious, and honest with your children. Demonstrate faith with boldness. Let us hear you speak more openly about Christ. Have more confidence in God, your children, and others. Be more respectful of family opinions. Be approachable. Listen with understanding. The responsibilities for fatherhood is awesome. There's an interesting set of verses in Psalm 128. Look in verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. In verse 3, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. We think of mighty trees, of old trees. We think of redwoods and sequoias. We think of the large oaks we may have in our house, in our homes. But did you know that olive shoots, if properly cultivated and cared for, will bear fruit for over 800 years? And here's the question each of our fathers must ask ourselves. Are we growing mushrooms or are we raising olive trees? Are we making a short-term difference or are we making a difference that will last for generations? Right or wrong, the way we raise our children will be an influence for generations. We want our children to be strong and stable, well-grounded, faithful. And if we want them to be those things, then we must water them, shower them with time, cultivate a relationship with them. Sometimes we're going to have to prune them. We also must introduce them to the light of God's word and to protect them from the pest that will destroy them. But most of all, we need to add a lot of spiritual miracle growth, prayer. We want to make a real difference in our country, in our nation. If we want to make a real difference in the world, it's not getting involved in politics. It's not getting involved in demonstrations and movements. What will make a difference is how we raise our children and grandchildren. They are the future. We can be and make a difference by being the father that God has called us to be. What do your children see today in you as a father or as a grandfather? Because we have a lot of grandfathers. Do they see someone who has the heart of Christ, who does their very loving best to raise them as God would want us to raise them? Or do they see your Christianity as a hobby instead of a profession? We need to make that decision. And today is as good a time as any to make that decision. Maybe you're not a child of God yet. Maybe you have not made that decision to turn your life over to Christ and to allow Him to give you that hope of eternal life. Through repentance and confession and New Testament baptism, you can have these things. And then through the love and the help of a congregation of believers, can help you to continue to grow in Christ. Maybe you are that Christian father today. Maybe you haven't done the things you should have been doing. There's also the repentance that can come and the forgiveness that this continual blood of Christ will wash away. If there's any that has a need to answer the invitation this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.